Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime, or whatever other random stuff we happen to think about. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm joined by my co-host, Austin! Woo! You're back!
Woo!
Woo! I'm so happy.
Alex and I are no longer friends, by the way.
Yeah, we broke up.
Because she and I have very different opinions on heated rivalry.
You could say we have our very own heated rivalry.
A heated something or another. She likes the boring gaze, and I like the more exciting gaze.
Is it wrong to like, you know...
The boring gaze?
The boring gaze. Like, is it wrong? Everybody's entitled to their opinion.
Listeners, which couple do you think is the boring gaze and which couple do you think is the exciting gaze? Let us know your opinions.
Okay, this shouldn't be surprising to anyone. We all know that I'm the boring one of this duo, so it tracks that I like the boring gaze better.
No, I'm pretty boring.
Oh, please. Well, your week certainly wasn't boring.
I was in Vegas, where I was very boring the entire time.
But not entirely. You did gamble a little bit.
Kind of. I told myself the one gambling thing I was going to do was they had these, like, boxes everywhere where they had pictures of rare Pokemon cards on them. They started out as, like, sports memorabilia stuff, and then they became Pokemon adjacent. But it was $99 for one Pokemon card, and I was like, ooh, what if I get something really good? So I put it in my credit card, and I got a Japanese Boltund V card, which I looked up, and you can buy it for 12 cents. On the internet.
$99.
And a Boltund ain't one.
Crazy. So, okay. Are there posted odds on this box? Like, is there a chance to win something really interesting? Like, what are the odds?
There are no odds posted. That's how you know it's not real.
Okay, so then you don't have any clue if you could even ever get something that's even worth $99.
Of course not. And I looked it up and they upped the price from $75 to $99.
Since when? How long has that been?
I don't know, a few months ago.
Of course.
So I was just being silly. I was like, I'm in Vegas. I'm going to do something crazy. And what I'm going to do is buy a Pokemon card.
A 12-cent Pokemon card. What a return on investment.
I know. That was my one silly thing. But you promised me we're going to go. There's one at a local mall. And we're going to go there and see what it looks like.
Okay. I'm always down to clown. You know that.
What else did I do? When I was in the airport, which, by the way, I was wrong about the time of my departure flight, and I had to literally run to the airport like I was in a movie.
This always happens to you.
I'm not the best when it comes to time management, but I made it to the airport in time, and I had enough time to play on some of the slot machines there, because I didn't like the slot machines at the actual casinos, because they make you make an account to play them.
See, that's wild to me. When you told us that, I was flabbergasted because I've been to Vegas twice. One of those times, I was actually of legal age, so I could gamble. And I don't recall. I mean, this was well over 10 years ago now, but it certainly wasn't like that back then.
Well, they make you make an account to gamble on their slot machines. I'm like, I'm not doing that shit. Fuck that. So instead, I went to the slot machines at the airport where you can just pay in cash. And I lost $40 for the cash. Hooray!
Oh, well, you know, it's a gamble, of course. I'm sad you didn't win anything, but it's not all the time you get to go to Vegas, so...
I only ever go to Vegas for work.
I know. I was super bummed out. I was completely wrong. Austin has these conferences every now and again, and I thought to myself, oh, it didn't work out this year. We couldn't go along... But we'll go next year. And it turns out you're not going back to Vegas for another 3 years.
Probably more than that.
So that really blows.
We can go to Vegas for fun anytime.
See, that's the thing. I would love to go, and not because of the gambling. I just want to go for the attractions. Like Omega Mart. I am desperate to go to Omega Mart.
I know you are.
That's my one thing I want to do. But I feel like if we go to Vegas, I want to make it a part of that road trip. That road trip I'm always talking about.
I'm trying to think of what I would want to do in Vegas if I was going for fun. For some reason, I really wanted to do the Saw escape room.
Ooh.
I kept on seeing that advertised. It's like, I can't do that by myself. That'd be weird.
I feel like that would be really anxiety-inducing. I mean, is it like actual Saw where it's like a pressure? Like, if you don't win, I'm going to kill you.
Lose your leg.
Yeah, like, that would be intense. We did an escape room once, and it was intense then. And we lost, by the way.
No, we only lost because the thing was busted.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Parts of it were, like, missing.
Yeah, you and Jacob were on top of it. You were, like, on the ball, but it was broken.
I was locked in. I wanted to win that ish, but we didn't.
I was, like, off in the corner going, la, 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 la.
I know. You guys were, like, talking and chatting. Like, there wasn't... The theme was, like, a, what, bomb defusal in, like, a nuclear bunker or something?
Yeah, it was, like, a nuclear assault.
You guys would have let the bomb just take you because you guys didn't care.
There's an escape room right up the road from me that's Scooby-Doo themed.
Oh, gosh. I'm sorry. I know this might piss off some people, but I never was a big Scooby-Doo fan.
We have talked about Scooby-Doo on this podcast extensively.
I know. I do like the more recent Scooby with Fred and the Nets. That's really it.
And the Hex Girls.
And the Hex Girls. That's about it. And the Witch's Ghost. But that's about it. I say three times. Anyway, we're glad you're back, Austin. It was sad and lonely without you here.
What do you do without me?
Wait for you to get back.
No, what did you do without me?
Gosh, what did I do? I mean, it's mostly just moving stuff once again. That's my entire life.
Oh, right. That's your life currently.
Yeah. Once again. Yeah, it's been a lot of logistics and dealing with that and figuring out timelines and packing. So, yeah. Nothing interesting, really.
Boring.
I know.
What Pokemon stuff has been going on? I feel like there's been a lot of Pokemon in the news lately.
Has there been a lot of Pokemon? Oh, the Super Bowl.
We watched the Super Bowl.
We did watch the Super Bowl.
Josh talked over the Pokemon commercial, and I literally snapped at him.
Okay, could you blame him, though? So, we were waiting, right, the entire time. We sat through the boring football parts. As you can tell, Austin and I are not sports ball fans.
I invited Jacob to come over, and he said no.
How rude of him.
I know.
And he knows about football terms. He could have helped us understand what was happening.
I think he was going to be like, I don't want you talking during the football parts. I think that was his logic.
And we couldn't care less. We were there for the commercial parts. Which, to be honest, was pretty disappointing because every other commercial was AI, about AI. And I...
Boo!
I was so mad.
Fuck AI. Fuck your Ring camera surveillance state. Fuck your crypto. Fuck all of you. Fuck big tech. I hate you. Fuck you, Discord, too, by the way.
Yeah, it's all bad news. All bad tech news recently. But we suffered through the Super Bowl, and I know I just pissed off a lot of you guys, which, sorry, not sorry. But Austin said there was a Pokemon commercial, which was really the big draw of the evening, plus the halftime show, which was nice. But when we got to the Pokemon commercial, we didn't even realize it was the Pokemon commercial. And Josh was talking over it until there was a Jigglypuff on the screen, and we're like, wait!
I literally screamed at him. I was like, stop talking!
I know, you were like, shh! And he was like, oh, I'm sorry.
Did he feel bad? Did he comment about that later?
Oh, no, he didn't. He wasn't
okay, good.
Upset. Okay, but
I'm trying to be
know.
Silly.
It wasn't even anything. It was like, what's your favorite Pokemon? Like, that's the big theme for the 30th anniversary is what's your favorite?
You know someone got paid a lot of money for that tagline.
I just want to know you guys' thoughts out there. Like, were you expecting... Okay, let me just back up one little second. I know that we all should know by now that we don't really expect a lot out of Pokemon because if we ever do expect something, chances are we're going to be disappointed. But this is the big 3-0.
Well, they never do anything that big for the anniversaries. For 25, it was like that album that we got our theme song from. I mean, whoops, no, we didn't. No copyright infringement here.
No, not. What are you talking about? No, of course not.
And I remember when that came out, I remember saying, God, we wish that instead of a Katy Perry song, there was a Lady Gaga song. We said that on the podcast. And I think that seems like it could happen now.
Well, she was in that commercial.
She was on that commercial. Lady Gaga loves Jigglypuff, apparently.
Apparently. I don't know. The big 3-0, it just seems like there should be something. But we'll see.
They announced another campaign, the Day Out, Night Out campaign.
Yeah.
Where the day out is family friendly and the night out is for adults. And I'm like, what could this possibly be, Pokemon? What are you trying to imply? It's going to be nothing.
Yeah, nothing. Just relax. Relax. We all know that nothing interesting is going to happen. I'm sorry to say it. Temper your expectations. You know, Pokemon at its core is still, you know, a child's franchise, a child's game. They're not, even for the adults, the night out stuff, they're not going to make it, like, interesting.
I mean, I would love for them to, like, release the official Pokemon vodka or something. That'd be fun.
What would adult-themed Pokemon stuff even be? Like, Pokemon lingerie.
The Vaporeon.
Stop right there.
Oh, okay. Are we still making Typhlosion jokes? Is that still a thing?
Oh my god, I completely forgot about that. Well, I guess we'll see what that will end up being. We're still a couple weeks out as of recording this. Well, I guess it wouldn't be a couple weeks out.
Let's find out, actually. Hold on.
I'm not sure when this episode's going to air, but...
It's on track to release on the 21st, so Pokemon Day still has not happened.
Okay, so, but at this time when you're hearing this, it'll be a little less than a week. So we will see what Pokemon Day has in store for all of us, and then next week, we will talk about it.
Winds and waves, that's my prediction.
I'm still interested to see what they're going to do with that, and I really hope that whatever they do... I feel like they're going to maintain the whole open world concept like they did with Scarlet and Violet. Seems inevitable that they're trending that way, but I hope they do it better.
All right, let's do some feedback.
All right, I'm eager to hear what you guys out there have shared with us.
Well, first I got an email from Ben, and the subject title is, actually.
Oh, well, you know us. We're plebs, so I'm sure whatever knowledge Ben has is going to be insightful, because you know we don't know shit about shit.
We said only Gulpin and Swalot knew Stockpile, Swallow, and Spit Up in Gen 3, but apparently Pelipper did as well.
I didn't even consider Pelipper, so thank you, Ben. I didn't know that.
Then Ben referenced The Simpsons and said, boy, I sure hope someone got fired for that blunder.
And what was the blunder?
You, one or both of us said that it was a Gulpin thing, but it was actually a Pelipper thing too. Oh my god, can you believe it? No. We're the worst.
We are the worst. I'm really just very grateful every single day you guys still listen to us.
Ben wants us to write a fan fiction about Nurse Joy as the nanny from hell.
We could make that a thing.
And thanks Pokemon Megastar for the recommendation of watching the episodes on Pokemon TV on YouTube.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I completely forgot about that.
Let's actually check and see what's the most recent episode they've uploaded.
Have they caught up to us?
Let's find out. The most recent episode on Pokemon TV is The Bigger the Better.
Are you kidding me? Oh my gosh.
So they're pretty much.
They've caught us.
They've caught up.
Perfect. Oh my gosh. That means you guys out there, if you're not already, you can follow along and watch this with us.
Hooray!
Hooray!
Speaking of Pokemon Megastar, what does Pokemon Megastar have to say? They agree with us that Norman is definitely cheating.
Definitely. I'm glad it's obvious to everyone.
And says, of course we've met Kenny before. Kenny is the boy in the orange parka who always gets killed.
And nobody remembers he gets killed.
Kenny is the one who made fun of Dawn in the Sinnoh region.
Oh my gosh.
I don't think we're ready for that, Kenny.
I'm not ready for that, Kenny. I kind of low-key hate that Kenny.
That Kenny is the most realistic character in Pokemon.
Yeah. And not in a good way, either.
No. MVPs, LVPs. MVP for the first episode, which is, I guess, the North Petalburg episode. MVP is Pikachu for taking out all those Pokemon from the annoying brats who were pestering Ash.
Yeah, great showing by Pikachu in that episode.
LVP is North Petalburg for being insane. For the affair episode, MVP is Norman Slacking for destroying Team Rocket. And LVP is Kenny for having to suffer through a family divorce without even being in the family.
That's so real. That is so real. Poor guy.
Poor Kenny.
He didn't sign up for that. And honestly, whatever they're paying him, and it seems like they're maybe like not paying him, it's not enough.
Kenny, could you do all the emotional labor for our family in the midst of our marital spat? Thank you.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to hold my tongue. I'm not going to comment.
Uh-oh?
No, I was going to say there's plenty of people out there that do that on a regular basis.
Who are you referring to, Alex?
Just Just in general.
Okay.
Just in a general sense, I feel like social media is a mistake. Everybody's sharing everything all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, that's it. That's all I got.
But you know what? I do love it when our listeners share their feedback. Keep it coming, you guys. I'm so glad you've reached out.
Is there any more Pokemon stuff we need to talk about before the episode proper? I don't think so.
I don't recall any other news aside from that Super Bowl stuff. Stay tuned, because I'm sure we'll learn a lot more Pokemon-related stuff. Oh, my God, I did forget one thing.
Okay.
Happy belated birthday to Mewtwo.
Oh, Mewtwo. He's turning 30 this year.
He is! He's turning 30! The big 3-0. Happy birthday, Mewtwo.
I'm sure he's happy about it. I'm sure he's thrilled.
You know, I'm sure he's even happier this year because we did not botch Mewtwo-themed cupcakes this year. Like we did
don't
that
talk
one
about
time.
That anymore. We're done with that.
Yeah, Austin forbids me from mentioning it, so that's all I'm going to say.
It's too embarrassing.
We can't even make boxed cupcakes right, you guys.
All right, I think we need to bicker about heated rivalry some more. And the bicker, the better.
We bicker all the time, you and me.
Because we're in love. Oh my God, we are really not. Gross.
Gross. So, who's doing what this week?
Well, what are episodes first?
Oh, well, first we've got the bicker, the better. And then, try not to panic, but it's grass hysteria.
Ah!
Oh my God.
Sorry, that was very like Kermit of me. I don't know what I was doing.
I know, you just had like a Muppet moment with that.
I like the Muppet Show revival thing they did.
I haven't seen the episode yet. I don't. Where's it streamed?
There's only one episode.
I don't think I have the thing.
You don't have Disney Plus?
No.
Oh my God! We need to discuss Spider Noir.
Excuse me?
Spider Noir starring Nicolas Cage in the role of Spider Man Noir.
Wait, is it happening?
It's coming out this spring. I sent you an article about it.
Stop. No, you didn't. When?
Yes, I did.
No, my God. What? Oh, my God. You just sent it to me. I didn't see it. I was working.
There's going to be a black and white version and a color version.
What?
Yep. There's going to be two versions to watch. But I'm worried because they say it's going to be on MGM Plus, whatever the fuck that is.
What the hell is MGM Plus? I've never heard of that.
They said it's going to be on MGM Plus and then streaming on Amazon Prime Video. But does that mean you need the MGM Plus to watch it? Because if so, that's not happening.
Is it one of those, like, stars where you have to have, like, the add-on in order to watch it?
Yeah, I don't... We'll see how it goes. All these companies think their shit don't stink. Cut it out.
I know. They're like, oh, well, you're going to watch it. I mean, I adore the idea of Spider-Noir, and I would love to watch it, but I think these companies are delusional in thinking that people are going to go out of their way to buy MGM Plus, whatever the hell that is, just to watch it.
People don't want to see Nicolas Cage as Ben Reilly Spider-Man that much.
I'm sure we'll figure out a way to watch this eventually.
All right, sorry, that just came to mind. Let's flip the coin.
Derailed us.
I am doing the 30-second flash challenge for the first one, Bicker the Better.
Okay, that means I have to get the timer out in order to time you, which would be helpful if I knew where the clock is.
Before we do this, what did you think of this episode while you search for that?
What did I think of this episode?
Did you enjoy it or not so much?
I have some thoughts. I don't know. I don't think I really liked it as much as some of the others. It's okay. Well, we'll talk about it. So give us the flash challenge in 3, 2, 1, go.
Ash and May get into a big fight. Ash says that he really liked the storyline in the heated rivalry about Ilya and what's his name? What was the other guy's name?
Shane.
And May is more of a Kip and Hunter kind of gal. And so they get into a huge fight. Jesse and James are having the same argument. And these random people with a Nidoking and a Nidoqueen, their names are Andy and Oscar, and they come up and they're like, you're all in love, and all of our...
Sorry, time! I'm so sorry. my god, I completely forgot to give you the signal.
How far did I go over?
Oh my god, like 4 seconds. I'm sorry. It didn't seem that long. I don't know what happened.
No, it didn't.
I was so absorbed by your commentary. I was just going to let you keep going.
I couldn't remember the character's name, Shane.
Like I said, we have a pre-record where we talked all about our feelings about Heated Rivalry, but I feel like it's going to come out in this too. Yes, we are currently at a Pokemon Center, and May is getting ready to leave. She's making sure she's got all her stuff packed up, ready to go. The boys, on the other hand, are pretty much halfway down the street by now. They are already gone, but Pikachu stops them, and they're like, oh, wait, we forgot something important. Oh my god, May. They were gonna just walk on without her. Ash goes back in, and he absolutely crashes out about how long it's taking May to pack up and get ready to leave, which, I don't know. I guess I'd feel more of the urgency if we actually had a schedule.
That's the thing. We don't know where we're going. In fact, that's what I want to talk about. I don't know where we are.
Yeah, where are we? We're in the middle of nowhere.
If you look at the title card where the PokéNav route shows up. Did you do that?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
You did?
Ever since you pointed it out, I've been making a point of looking closely.
Last we saw the twerps, they were going on a ferry. Yeah. According to the title card, they've taken this ferry over the land at least 3 times on their way to Fortree City.
They've literally, like, bisected Hoenn. They go straight up the middle. So have they, like, done connections? Like, they got off the ferry, they got on a bus, they got on another ferry, they got on a bus. Like, what has happened?
My headcanon is going to be that we are now east of Mauville City because we haven't been there before.
East of Mauville City.
That's
going to
be
my
theory.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know where we are.
We're somewhere in Hoenn.
I don't know. It's a weird place, as we'll see, because we end up somewhere very strange in the next episode.
And we're in no hurry. We're in no hurry because there's no contests on the schedule. We don't know what that's going to be about.
Okay, so let's think about this real quick. So Ash, I feel like, has a little bit more urgency, because if you consider the fact that the Hoenn League is on a schedule, it's slated for X day, whenever it is, I could see how they would be like, okay, we have to make sure that we get all the gym battles in and earn all the badges by X day, you know, several months from now, whatever. But we don't know that. We don't know that that's even a thing. Clearly, it has to be, right? I mean, if you're putting together a contest on that scale. But they never make a mention of, like, we only have 3 more months. We only have whatever length of time in order to earn the badges.
I mean, I'm a lot more concerned about May, because they have the Grand Festival at the same time as the Pokemon League, and she has to go and get 5 ribbons on that same schedule. And hers, I think it's much more difficult to get 5 ribbons than it is to get 8 badges.
For sure.
Because you have to be at a certain place at a certain time, and you only have that window to beat 30-plus other people.
Well, as we know, time just seems to converge around the twerps, and everything falls into place at their whim. So I guess they don't know. They don't care to know, because they know it's all going to work out.
There's really no need to be in any hurry, and we really aren't in any hurry. So I don't know why we're pretending we are.
So anyway, May is... I guess this episode is tinged with a little sexism. Well, I guess I should say a lot of sexism. Because we start out with May caring about her appearance. And she's kind of vain in this episode. And she's like, well, I care about what I look like. So I'm going to stop and make sure everything is just right in the mirror. And Ash couldn't care less. He doesn't even brush his teeth in the morning, supposedly, I guess. So he doesn't even care. So things devolve into an argument from there. So as we're walking along the path, they are interrupted by 2 lunatic people who seem to have popped right out of a fairy tale book. And these 2 lunatic people are Oscar and Andy.
What is this referencing?
I thought you would know.
I don't know what this is.
I thought Oscar because I was thinking of, like, the Oscars, like a performance.
Oscar and Andy? That sounds like it should be, like, a movie or something.
Oscar and Andy? Is this, like, When Harry Met Sally?
When Oscar met Andy?
When Oscar met Andy. Maybe they just picked names of 2 people that worked on the show at the time. I have no idea.
So they're like in like, I don't know, they're from some sort of anime or something, it looks like. What are they dressed like? She's in a dress, he's like in a soldier's nutcracker style outfit.
Yeah, it's pretty gaudy and over the top. I would say they are from the Nutcracker because that's what they look like. But they have a toxic relationship because they pop out of the bushes and claim that Ash and May must absolutely be in love because, quote, fighting is the first sign of love.
Don't like that.
So these people are not to be trusted, and you sure as hell better not take relationship advice from them because they're insane. So yeah, at this point, they challenge them to what they refer to as a tag battle, which I guess is kind of like a double battle, except for like one trainer and two Pokemon. It's two trainers with one Pokemon each.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Which is interesting. So in this particular instance, a tag battle explained by Andy is a battle that involves each trainer using just one Pokemon with no substitutions allowed. Oscar and Andy have some interesting Pokemon. They use a Nidoking and a Nidoqueen.
Fire Red and Leafgreen are definitely in the midst of their promotional cycle right now.
I wanted to ask about that because we have these Pokemon in this episode, Kanto Pokemon, and then we also have the return of another Kanto Pokemon in the next episode.
Yeah, a lot of Kanto all of a sudden.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
When is it not Kanto, though? That's a good point.
You know what? What if they don't announce Wind and Waves? What if they announce, like, I don't know, Red and Blue 30th Anniversary Edition or something?
Depends on what they do with that.
What do you mean by that?
Have you seen the fan concepts online where it's Pokemon Legends Kanto and you play as Professor Oak and Agatha the Rival?
Stop! Oh my god, that'd be so cute.
Yeah.
Here I am. I'm a simp for Kanto. We always bitch and complain, oh my god, too much Kanto. But then here we are going like, oh my god! That'd be so fun.
All right, let's get back into the hater sphere. Oh, God. Yeah, we hate Kanto. And Nidoking and Nidoqueen, been there, done that. Bleh.
Oh, yeah. Such old news. Very yesterday. Okay, so Oscar and Andy have their Nidoking and Nidoqueen. Wow, amazing. Ash and May, on the other hand, opt to use Corphish and Skitty.
Well, it's their favorites. Ash always uses Corphish. May always uses Skitty.
You know, I'm surprised that he didn't use Pikachu or Grovyle, to be honest with you.
He would never use Talo, though. Fuck Talo.
We haven't seen Talo in forever.
He never uses Talo.
I know, it's so sad. Just like May never uses Torchic, so whatever.
May really never uses Torchic.
She does use it next episode, but whatever. So they get in each other's way. Ash and May are not on the same wavelength at all. And ultimately, they're defeated by a very erotic submission attack.
Erotic.
They're like rolling around together and they roll right into the torps. So double KO, Ash and May are defeated. Oscar and Andy continue their reign of terror and they happen upon Team Rocket, who they also accuse of being in love. What? And they challenge them to a battle as well to, you know, test their love or whatever.
I feel like Oscar and Andy, like, came out of, like, a gay conversion therapy camp or something.
Oh, my God. They have, I feel like, a deep-seated psychological problem.
They are not real people. I'm not convinced these are not robots.
I really feel like they really don't love each other as much as they claim to love each other. I think they're both in denial.
I think they're brother and sister.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Like Stop. Butler and Diane that one Stop. Time.
Oh my god. I hate that you say that because I could totally see it and that's just absolutely heinous. There's something wrong there. I feel like you're right though. They're hiding some kind of dark secret.
They're off.
They're off. You can always tell. They have crazy eyes. After Team Rocket is blasted off with a heavenly hyper beam that takes the form of a heart. Okay.
Love that.
You do? You love that?
That should have been in a contest or something.
Yeah, I feel like these people would be better off as contest participants. They should have showed up with, like, in a May episode in a contest. I don't know. They could have written something. It could have been, like, a dual contest
May and thing. Drew episode.
Oh, my God. Perfect. What were we thinking?
A special contest rules where everyone has to pair up for some reason.
Yes.
And May and Drew have to be together. And then Jessie doesn't have a partner, so she makes James join the contest.
That would have been perfect.
Okay. Okay, we did it.
Why do we always do this? We always make better episodes.
Plus, a May and Drew relationship episode, I feel like, would have been a lot more compelling than an Ash and May.
You know I would have loved that.
Oh, I know.
Because I'm a May and Drew simp.
I would have been okay with an episode that actually genuinely analyzed the relationship of Ash and May, but this episode was not it.
Yeah.
There was nothing specific to them.
I feel like they forced an argument. Like, I don't necessarily feel like they really had a lot of contention up to this point, and it just feels a little forced. All right, so back to this. Both Ash and May and Jesse and James, having been defeated, are now deep within the throes of, like, a hateful conversation with one another. And somehow, along the way, their arguments converge, and they both end up in the same place because they end up answering one another when they're having this discussion, and they're like, oh my god, twerps, oh my god, Team Rocket.
Trainers.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Trainers. Trainers!
Trainers!
Which one of these Pokemon is the best choice to battle Ariados? Raichu, Onix, spelled with a Y instead of an I.
Oh my gosh.
Or Blaziken.
Blaziken, please.
Okay, trainers, if you chose Onix with a Y, you were right.
Fucking stop. Why?
Except, that's not actually true, because Blaziken also has an advantage over Ariados.
Okay, wait. What's the explanation here?
There is none.
Onix with a Y. Does it have, like, some different kind of typing, Onix with a Y? Or is it as boring as Rock and Ground is?
It's Rock and Ground. Poison types are weak to ground types.
Yeah, but bug types are weak to fire.
I think Onix should be disqualified because O-N-Y-X is not even a Pokemon.
Yeah, what's happening here? It doesn't even exist.
Yeah, that's not a Pokemon.
Okay, is there some obscure thing where, like, fighting and rock, like, is fighting resisted somehow by bug or something? Like, what? There's got to be something, right?
I think it's just wrong.
Guys, I'm appealing to you. Help us. Help us out there. I know you guys know. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, enough of that. Back to the action. We are in a battle now, and I actually kind of love where this was going. I'm just sorry to report that it didn't really go anywhere at all. I wish it did. It had potential, but it just kind of fizzled out. Jesse and James both offer a temporary partnership to May and Ash. They're like, you know what? This entire premise of this episode has become a battle of the sexes because, you know, Jesse and May are like, I hate boys. And James and Ash are like, we hate girls.
Which doesn't make any sense. Ash and May were having a gendered argument over May wanting to look in the mirror and packing up all of her stuff. And women take too long to get ready in the morning. Like, that's what the argument was.
God forbid that men care about their appearance.
That was the thing, is Ash is a heathenly slob who doesn't know what a hairbrush is.
Ugh.
Jesse and James, I think, are just confrontational and prone to bickering at all possible times. But they didn't really have a gender component to their argument.
Oh?
At first. Oh, what at was first? Their argument?
Would argue that James makes it even more sexist and gendered.
That is my quote!
Okay. So, it's mine too.
It's the best quote in the episode!
It's actually shocking, to be honest with you.
It was very shocking. It was the gall of it.
I know, the gall of it. Like, I was blown away because for me, you know, Jesse and James are icons of, like, acceptance, right? And there's been so many iconic moments with them. And if anyone was going to be an ally to any group of people, it would be Jesse and James. So I was absolutely shocked, absolutely disappointed in James and how he ends up acting towards Jesse.
James is our problematic fave.
He's our problematic fave. I was so shocked.
I think they forced it. I think Jesse and James had no sort of battle of the sexes component. And then it kind of became that when they saw the twerps. And it became boys versus girls.
I mean, he kind of started it even before they met up with the twerps. I mean, he started.
Oh, he did? Okay.
He started resorting to insults about Jesse's physical appearance.
It wasn't even that clever. It was just like, at least I'm not ugly.
Yeah, and we all know that Jesse is not ugly. Like, it's just,
God, Jesse should have, like, ripped his skin off.
It was so insulting. I'm like, you guys are supposed to be BFFs forever. Like, I don't understand where this is coming from. Regardless, I don't know how we've gotten to this. I don't know if the writers are just like, boys versus girls is funny. Because, you know, they're like cats and dogs and can never get along. Anyway, Jesse and James partner up with May and Ash, respectively, which, I don't know, this whole, I wish there wasn't the gendered component to it, because the idea of, like, Team Rocket teaming up with the twerps, it just, it was fun.
I actually think Ash and Jesse would be a better pairing, and James and May.
Really? Okay.
Because Ash and Jesse kind of have that headstrong,
oh, yeah,
stupid person thing going for them.
That's such a good point.
And James and May are a lot more easygoing in comparison.
Yeah, I think maybe that was kind of the ultimate point that they were trying to make, is it was just a bad matchup because they were so far up their own asses about everything. I think you're right. I think that if they had paired up with the opposite person, they could have easily had a really great combination going and maybe would have been a much more formidable team.
Plus, May and Jesse have their rivalry they have going.
Yeah, I don't know. They didn't mention that either. And I was kind of hoping they would use, like, Dustox and Beautifly together to kind of address that, but they didn't. So, yeah, things go off the rails very quickly. It's Seviper and Skitty, I believe. Is it Skitty?
Of course it's Skitty. You had to ask?
Sorry, it's like a black hole in my mind. I'm like, what happened? Yeah, and so Seviper and Skitty versus Cacnea and, what did Ash use? Was it Corphish again?
Corphish.
Corphish again. And things sort of just devolve. Everybody's getting in each other's way, and Jesse being the absolute headstrong force of nature that she is, decides to call in Dustox because she can't stand to lose. And so Brock immediately disqualifies her for using a second Pokemon when it's only supposed to be one-on-one. But during this chaos, Meowth is trying to get Jesse and James's attention long enough to remind them that they should use this whole chaos as an opportunity to catch Pikachu, because that's their singular goal.
I love how it's like a split second of chaos. And the moment Meowth reminds them, oh yeah, we're Team Rocket, it all clicks into place and all is forgiven and we're all back to our regular patterns.
So predictable. But yeah, we do forget what we were even arguing about in the first place, because when Pikachu gets captured, it's all hands on deck to try to get him back. And of course, Ash and May team up and forget all of their previous whatever beef they were dealing with in order to get Pikachu back. And they make up and they're friends again.
This could have been a better episode.
Yeah, I think we determined that they could have done a lot different.
I'm okay with turmoil within the group. Always love the twerps and Team Rocket getting mixed in with each other and kind of having just like a silly day. But it didn't work out too well, I thought.
Do you think it would have been a slightly better episode if somehow some catalyst event happened to where, if it was going to be, not that I agree that it went this way, but if it was going to be like a battle of the sexes type of episode, like there could have been some kind of catalyst event that put James and Ash and Brock together and then like Jesse and May together, and they kind of had these like bonding moments.
Like they were at some sort of competition of like some sort of contest, and whoever wins gets chocolate or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then, of course, maybe they could have sort of, like, temporarily forgotten their differences, and I don't know. It's not like Pokemon has a lot of character building or anything, but...
Or Oscar and Andy are not Oscar and Andy. They're, like, a couple who's in a fight, and the guys end up on the guy side, and the girls end up on the girl side somehow.
You know, maybe they could have been the overseers of, like, a whatever contest thing that was going on. And so they're normally, like, a loving, lovey-dovey couple. But then they kind of, like you said, they get into a fight. And so they make it this whole, like, boys versus girls kind of thing.
And they bring our cast into it.
Yeah, like, you know, you have Andy coaching Jesse and May or something for the whatever contest it is. And then you've got Oscar coaching on the boys' side of things. Like, I don't know. Maybe that'd been better. And they could have, like, helped Oscar or Andy kind of, like, win the prize for whatever contest it is or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it wasn't well thought out.
In an alternate reality, maybe we could have got that. Anyway, MVP, LVP, and quote time.
Well, I'll go first because boys are better than girls. No, I'm kidding. I actually am going first.
Oh my god. That's not because boys are better.
That's because Dragonite says that boys are better. I'm kidding!
Oh my god.
Okay, do you want the James quote?
Look, the way the coin flip works is if you get it first, you get it. So it's yours to have.
Okay. But do you want it?
I'm not saying whether I want it or not.
I'm going to do a backup quote.
Okay.
Oscar and Andy bid their farewell to the twerps, and they say, "Farewell, happy couple. We must be on our way." And Ash and May say, "We're not a couple, and we're not happy either."
I love how I had two quotes, and that was the backup one for me, and the other one's the James quote you were going to use.
My MVP is going to be Wobbuffet. Because there's a brief scene. Brock is judging the battle, and Wobbuffet pops up from behind and, like, scares the hell out of Brock. And then through the rest of the episode, Wobbuffet is randomly imitating Brock's movements with his arms.
I missed that. Oh my god, I wasn't paying attention.
I was assuming it's a reference to the fact that they have the same Japanese voice actor, Brock and Wobbuffet.
That has
but
to
I don't
be.
Know. I thought it was cute. I'm going to appreciate Wobbuffet when he does stuff.
I liked that they... I don't think Brock and Wobbuffet really have ever, like, interacted, so I liked that.
This is their moment to shine together.
And it'll never happen again.
My LVP... I'm going to give it to Oscar and Andy. Because there is something off about them. I think they might be chaos spirits of some sort that live in the forest.
Yeah.
I don't like their views on romantic relationships. And I don't like how they're running around trying to spread compulsory heterosexuality on literally everyone. Fuck off.
Yeah, they're yikes on bikes. There's something wrong with them. They have a dark past and I just know it. They have like a body or something buried in their like basement. I just know it. So, my MVP... My MVP... Goodness me, I don't even know.
Do you want suggestions?
Yeah.
Meowth for remembering that Pikachu is the goal?
No. Mm-mm.
Brock and Max for staying out of it?
You know what? I'm gonna give it to Nidoqueen and Nidoking because I love them.
Oh. They're the only two that are truly in love in this whole thing.
I really think they have a pure relationship. You can tell. My LVP for sure is going to be James. He deserves it. He's the worst in this episode, and I don't understand why. It's so uncharacteristic of him. I can't believe he was resorting to calling Jesse ugly. And for this quote that I'm going now to read to you, he says, so this is when they're tagging up with Ash and May. He turns to Ash and says, "Let's blow those whining women back to the dark ages where they belong." What the? Oh, God.
Did you like Ash's response?
Ash was a real one, although I wish that he had said something, but he didn't really respond. He was kind of like,
He said, yeah, okay.
He had a moment of doubt. Even Ash was a little bit, like, taken aback by that. But maybe he wasn't such a real one, because instead of saying, "I don't know about that, James," he kind of went with it. So, honorary LVP to Ash for not standing up in solidarity with women.
I'll give Ash this. He did apologize to May 1st.
Okay. Yes. I will give him that as well. I was surprised. That's a rare Ash W to apologize first. And not like one of his half-assed, like, "Well, I'm sorry you feel that way, but..." He actually said, "I'm sorry." So good for him.
When people give me that, "I'm sorry you feel that way," I say, "Well, apology not accepted." Every time. I don't fuck around with that.
Because it's not a real apology.
No, of course not.
It's victim blaming and shifting the focus onto the person. It's not. It's somebody saying to you, "Your feelings aren't valid. I'm sorry you feel that way. I'm not taking responsibility for my actions. You have to deal with your own feelings." Like, that's not an apology in any sense.
Are you ready for the grass hysteria?
I think so.
Get ready to kick your grass in 3, 2, 1, go.
So we are in Nowhereville in the middle of the forest, out of bounds, and May is attacked by Skarmory and taken to a mysterious place that's forbidden for people. It's full of grass types, and May befriends a Bulbasaur, and Ash decides that he has to rescue May, and he's not going to follow the law of this place, and so he goes in there, and Team Rocket tries to steal all the grass Pokemon, but then May ends up making friends with Bulbasaur and catching it.
Time. Alright, yeah. We're here. We're at the episode.
The episode. Yes, the episode.
We've been waiting for this one.
You know, can I just be honest?
Yep.
I wish that May had gotten the Swablu instead.
Ooh!
I may have ruffled some feathers by saying that. I'm sorry.
Ruffled some cotton feathers.
Yes. I don't know. I feel, having watched this episode and then thinking back to that one, I just feel like that was a more compelling friendship. You know, May spent all that time nursing it back to health. There was really a bond there, much stronger than whatever she's got going on with this Bulbasaur she met for like half a day.
All right, well, let's talk about that half a day.
Mm.
We are walking in the woods and the PokéNav is not working.
When is it ever working?
I guess Max spilled juice on it again.
No, please don't say that, because then we're going to have to go see Mr. Devonstone again.
A Skarmory emerges from the bushes, tries to kill the twerps. Skitty jumps out, I guess to put itself in the line of fire. May grabs Skitty. The Skarmory grabs May and flies them away to a mountain and drops them off. But the mountain is behind the menacing fence of doom from which no one can pass. And the guardians of the fence are cultists who wear hoods. They're mysterious hooded men. And the boy twerps are like, oh my god, that Skarmory took May. We need to go get her. And the hooded old men are like, we'll have to talk to old man Obi about this.
Obi.
Kay.
Okay.
So the Skarmory leaves May. It decided not to disembowel and eat her, I guess. And May finds a Bulbasaur with two little heart symbols on its forehead. What do you think of that?
That's when you know this is a unique Pokemon that's going to be relevant, when it has a unique marking.
Yeah, like that broken heart Spinda that Brock caught.
Except for that one time, which I still am really upset about, and it does break my heart as well.
Well, we get to the heart Bulbasaur, and she's not the brightest Bulbasaur in the patch, because she is trying to pick a flower from the side of the mountain and almost flies and dies.
Flies and dies?
Flies and dies.
Okay.
But May grabs it and stops that Bulbasaur from meeting a certain doom. May is still really high on Bulbasaurs after the time she met one a couple episodes ago. I don't know why she didn't just catch that fucking one, but okay, here we are.
Well, you know, Gen 1.
I really don't know, actually.
Well, I don't know why she didn't catch that particular Bulbasaur, but I will say that I am happy that Bulbasaur is getting some attention. I think I would have preferred it over, what, Squirtle?
Funny you say Squirtle.
Is it? Is it funny that I say Squirtle?
Do you remember what happens after this? Okay, no. We'll talk about that later.
Apparently not.
Okay, you don't remember? Okay.
Oh, God.
should I get into this now? Why do they love Bulbasaur so much?
Because he's number one.
They love Bulbasaur. Bulbasaur stayed through like 2/3 of Johto. Bulbasaur always appears every time we're in Pallet Town. And now May's going to catch a Bulbasaur halfway through Hoenn. It's like constant Bulbasaur.
Is it because somebody loves Bulbasaur? Or is it because Bulbasaur is like the easiest to animate or something?
Possibly. I don't know.
Can we take a poll? Everybody out there listening, tell us who your favorite Gen 1 starter is. Because I would have assumed it's Charmander, just by virtue of the Charizard association.
Yeah, I guess May can't have a Charmander because she has Torchic.
Well, that's never stopped anyone before. I mean, Ash has had multiple of the same type in one team before.
Yeah, but I never like when he does that.
That's true. It's better to have a nice, even spread.
Alright, so May's here with a Bulbasaur, and all these douchebag grass-type Pokemon jump out. There's like a Gloom and a Weeping Bell and some Flora.
Very intimidating.
They say, get away from our Bulbasaur, or we'll cut your throat.
Okay, you know what? Maybe I was hasty. I think it would be pretty intimidating to have a Pokemon that can, like, paralyze you and, like, kill you with, like, poison spores.
Yeah, that would be scary. In fact, at one point in the episode, May's walking, and there's, like a stray stun spore heading towards her.
Oh my God.
Like, oh my God! She has to, like, run away.
I mean, that would be terrifying. Like, you get incapacitated, and then, like you said, you can get sliced up by, like... I mean, have you ever been pricked by, like, sharp thorns? That shit hurts.
Yes, it does.
It's dangerous.
Meanwhile, Old Man Obi is not going to let the twerps in to save May. This is the way of the land, because no one is allowed into the sacred grass-type area, and May's just going to have to fucking die.
Her ass is grass.
Her ass is grass. Meanwhile, the Bulbasaur is pleading for May's case, but all the other little grass types run up, and they're like, sacrifice! Oh, we must kill this human! Ash can sense that this is not going to go well, so he and Brock and Max kind of like spy on the cult people deliberating on what they're going to do, and Ash is like, fuck this, we're just going to do this ourselves. So he and Brock run to the fence and start trying to knock down the giant log post by running into it with their shoulders a bunch of times.
You have to give it to them. They were really determined.
Do you know how hard it would be to bust through a log like that?
I don't know, but once upon a time, and somebody did the calculation on Ash's strength, he lifted that log that one time.
Has that happened yet? I don't think it's happened yet.
Wait, has that not happened yet? I could have sworn it happened, like, before.
Oh, maybe it happened multiple times. I don't know. I can't remember this shit okay. anymore. Instead, when their plan to bust through the logs doesn't work, they all try to climb the vines over the 300-foot fence. And Ash is the only one with the cartoonish athleticism and able to do so. Brock and Max get left behind with the cult members, who I would assume that they would have strung up Brock and Max and killed them, but apparently they don't.
Oh, God.
Because at that point, they're trying to break into the place on purpose.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they would have ritualistically gotten sacrificed to all the sun kerns and the hoppips.
So while Brock and Max are being tied to four Rapidash heading in different directions.
Oh my god.
May is being killed by some hoppips and sun kerns and shit. But Ash has become Tarzan and he swings in to save her heroically. And I'm sure Andy and Oscar would have been really excited to see that.
No, they're too wrapped up in each other.
May has been using Torchic to ward off the grass types this entire time. But at this point, Venusaur, supreme leader of the forest, appears. And the Venusaur has the little Bulbasaur with it. Because presumably this Bulbasaur is its child, right?
It has to be. Or like grandparent or something.
Something. Some sort of relative. The Venusaur is like Yoda or something. It's all wise. And the child Bulbasaur says, Baba, Bulbasaur! Which, of course, translates to, this human helped me when I was in danger, and now it's on our side, and we should not string them up and kill them and let the crows peck at their bodies. So the Venusaur is like, okay, grass types, you all need to calm down. These humans are our allies. Chill the fuck out. Now all is fine, except Venusaur rejects Torchic, because Torchic is a fire type. And fire types are an inherent affront to all grass types. And Torchic must be killed. So May obliterates it by recalling it to its Pokeball, and Venusaur is like, oh, good, you killed it. It's gone.
I'm surprised that Venusaur didn't, like, attack May for having the audacity to, like, have a fire type in the first place.
I don't know. I don't think these things understand what a Pokeball is or, like, how humans work.
Well, maybe not these ones, because they've never been exposed to people. Seemingly, although maybe the grass type cultists, I mean, would they be aware of them? I'm not sure.
I don't know. At this point, Ash is reminded, oh yeah, I have a Bulbasaur in Pallet Town. I love Bulbasaur. Bulbasaur's the best. Trainers!
Aw.
Which one of these Pokemon is the best Pokemon of all? Bulbasaur, Bulbasaur, Bulbasaur!
I'm gonna just have to go out on a limb and say Bulbasaur.
Trainers! If you chose Electrike, you were right!
Oh my god, what a switch.
The actual question was, what evolved into Manectric, Electrike, Mantine, or Electrode? And the correct answer was Bulbasaur.
Of course.
So, the heart Bulbasaur is showing May, it's like completely enthralled with May. Because it's like, what the hell is this thing? What's a human? I don't know, it's so exciting. And it's showing May a scenic view of the entire jail that they live in, the like grass type enclosure that they're confined to live in, and only Skarmory's May leave.
Oh, God.
May spots there's like a town on the horizon, and she's like, look, Bulbasaur, that's a town. You can go shopping for clothes and go to restaurants, and you can bathe, and you can not be a dirty heathen living in the forest. And Bulbasaur's like, sounds great to me.
Bulbasaur has such like aerial energy, you know, going up to the surface and being like, look at this stuff. Isn't it neat? She's very enthralled with the outside world.
Can you blame her? I wouldn't want to live in, like, Sunkern land.
Oh my God, surrounded by hoppips on all sides.
Ew, ah! What a horrible nightmare. There's Skiploom everywhere you look.
Oh my God, get us out of here.
So, meanwhile, the cult has been debating, should they tie Brock and Max to a fence post and strip them naked and cover them in honey? But they have decided not to do that.
Jeez.
They have decided that, you know what? Fuck it. We already broke the rules. We're all going to go into the enclosure now. We're all just going to walk in there. Who cares?
Yeah, fuck the bureaucracy.
So all of us, including Old Man Obi, go into the gate. And we arrive just in time for Team Rocket to be attacking all the grass types with their new mecha, which is the Mean Old Lady Mark One.
Of course.
I think it's supposed to be like a gardener lady, I guess.
Is it?
It's picking weeds.
I'm surprised they just didn't have a giant Sunkern or a giant Hoppip or something.
They just had a giant Skiploom in that Professor Birch episode.
Well, clearly they used the wrong robot at the wrong time.
So the Bulbasaur is in peril. So Venusaur comes to the rescue. May gets thrown into the storage chamber of the Mean Old Lady Mach 1, kind of like she did with those Nubble that one time.
Yeah.
All the grass types use Razor Leaf, and they shred May to pieces, but thankfully she survives, and they all burst out of the bag they were being stored in. We blast off Team Rocket, Venusaur uses Solar Beam, oh my god, goodbye. So now it's time to say farewell to the grass types as the sun sets. And May says, well, Bulbasaur, I guess you're going to have to stay here. Like that one time I left a Swablu behind because I didn't want to take it away from its family. And Bulbasaur says, but I hate my family. Take me with you. And everyone's like, okay. And Bulbasaur decides to go with May because she really wants to see that town on the horizon. The Venusaur doesn't object at all. And I remember as a kid being like, really? Another Bulbasaur? We're doing this? We're actually doing this? There's going to have a second Bulbasaur? This is happening? Okay. Oh, I guess we're doing this. All right. Bulbasaur.
Bulbasaur's everywhere.
Bulbasaur's all the time.
Okay, let's think about this critically. If they really wanted to promote the whole fire red, leaf green of it all, I mean,
I assume that's why Venusaur was in this episode.
See, I guess. I was going to say, what other option do we have for like a Gen 1 Pokemon? But then as I said that, I was like, yeah, it's definitely to showcase the leaf green, the Venusaur.
Charizard's had its moment in the sun quite a bit, so.
Yeah, I guess I can understand why they picked it. I honestly don't think that there's another alternative, but it's a little weird. I think that it doesn't fit May half as well as the Swablu would have.
It just feels weird that now we're giving out Pokemon that aren't Hoenn Pokemon, but
yeah,
whatever.
Would it have killed them to give her both? Like, she could have had the Swablu and the Bulbasaur.
It certainly would have killed Torchic.
Oh, well, yeah, we would have never seen it ever, ever again. Honestly, I think she would have released it right then and there. She'd be like, you know what, Torchic, I don't have any more room for you.
I know. She's going to say, Torchic, you're going to stay here with the grass types and teach them to get over their prejudice against fire-type Pokemon. And then they would have tarred and feathered it.
Oh my god, it's like what happened, fast forward to the whole Goodra and the Florges debacle, when Ash left Goodra to be traumatized by the fairy types.
If we ever get to that episode, it's going to be a wild podcast.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
That's the worst thing Ash has ever done.
Ever. By leaps and bounds. Ever.
Well, he did blackface that one time. That's worse.
We don't talk about that.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank God Bulbasaur's here.
But you would have preferred Swablu.
I would have. I would have. And I think any sane person would have.
MVP, LVP, end quote. Let's flip the Bulbasaur coin. I'm going first again.
Okay.
My MVP. Oh, God. I don't know. Help me on this one.
Your MVP? Bulbasaur, of course.
Are you sure? Are we sure about that?
Well, I mean, it is number one. Swablu.
No.
For not having to be here in this episode.
I really don't have a good one.
Ash, for being like, fuck the rules, I'm going after May, she's in trouble.
Ash for being Tarzan?
Yeah, Ash for his incredible feats of strength and physical capability. I don't know.
I'm going to give it to Torchic.
Torchic? Oh, for the rare appearance. Got it.
Yeah, Torchic got to keep all those grass types at bay. So I appreciate Torchic for that. It got to do something. Torchic's been on a good run lately, actually. That's how you know I was struggling when Torchic gets MVP. My LVP...
Yeah, Slim Pickens.
...is going to be the wild Skarmory that randomly abducts girls and then flies away without them.
Oh, God damn it! I was going to pick that. Ah!
It's very Ice King-coded in a way. Okay. My quote will be Team Rocket during the motto. Jesse says, Jesse! And James says, Jamesy!
Oh my gosh.
For no reason. Okay.
James doesn't need a reason.
It got very close to James Jamesy.
I thought. Only you would have thought that. That never occurred to me.
Jamesy.
Okay. My MVP. I'm going to say Ash. For the reasons that I stated before. I mean, he had the gumption, you know? He was like, our friend is in danger. God only knows what's happening to her. She could be fighting for her life right now. She could be getting disemboweled by a steel bird. We have to do something. We can't just sit around here and wait for some old men and some crazy cult people to, I don't know, go through like a committee and vote on this. Like, we need to move now. So I appreciate his willingness to skirt the rules and take initiative.
There wasn't a single hanging mirror in that entire place. How could May survive?
Exactly. That's why they had to move quickly. All right. Austin took my LVP. For the record, I was going to say LVP to Skarmory because it didn't get to completely eviscerate Skitty.
Oh.
But instead, I have to think of something else. My LVP.
Old Man Obi?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to give it to that fucker, Old Man Obi. He's a crotchety oldster who would rather, you know, just stick to his old and antiquated tradition of not going into the sacred grass area, even though a girl's life was in danger. I think he represents everything that's wrong in our country today, where you have a bunch of old, stodgy, stuck-in-their-ways people that aren't, you know, embracing change and moving forward with the times. So I'm going to give it to him because he represents the old guard, and I don't like that at all. So
this is why you need to vote, because Old Man Obi is definitely going to vote. So you need to counterbalance it.
Yeah. Do you want Old Man Obi to get his way when he's going to be dead in 5 years anyway? Or do you want to actually vote for change? Meaningful change, people.
Obi's going to have Social Security for the rest of his life, and you're not going to get any of it.
Yeah. See, Obi's the kind of person that pulls up the ladder behind him and doesn't let anybody else reap the benefits of anything. So he's got to go. All right. With that, my quote is the only quote I have. James says, so this is when Team Rocket is spying on the Venusaur and May and Ash and seeing this idyllic scene. What?
I have a better quote when you're done.
Okay. You can have an honorary one.
Okay.
So Meowth is conveniently translating what the Venusaur is saying. And James says, you know, that Venusaur must carry a lot of weight in their community. Jesse replies, forget how fat it is. It's obviously their boss. Jesse gets honorary LVP for fat shaming Venusaur.
This is going to be a real quote. Fuck my previous one. My real quote is the Venusaur walks up and says, Venusaur, Venusaur. And May says, what's that? And Ash says, a Venusaur.
Oh my God. I didn't. What? I must have spaced out like multiple times over watching these because I did not get that one either.
These weren't the best episodes. Okay. Let's get back to the contest now. Let's move on.
Can May also get LVP for not understanding that Pokemon say their names and has to, like, that she had to ask that asinine question.
If you want to give her LVP, go for it.
No, because Obi deserves it. Okay, well, with that, we've escaped the grass hysteria.
Get ready for more Bulbasaur next week, because we have the episode Hokey Pokey Balls.
Hokey Pokey Balls? I have a feeling I'm going to love that.
And Wish Cash and Ash.
Wish Cash and Ash.
Wish Cash and Ash.
Why did you sound like Sean Connery there for 1 second?
I was doing pork chops and applesauce.
I don't even know what that means.
Never mind. Go watch the Brady Bunch. Go educate yourself.
Clearly, I'm an uncultured swine.
We'll have a battle of the sexes about it.
Yeah, well, a heated rivalry about it.
Ooh, Ilya and Shane forever.
No, Hunter and Kip forever. I enjoyed this week. I hope you guys did too. And of course, we love to have you guys commenting and giving us feedback. So please continue to do so. Let us know your thoughts on these episodes as well. You can always get in touch with us at our email, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. We also have our social media. You can reach out to us on Blue Sky or Instagram. Same handle for both, @outofthedryingpan. We also have our Patreon. If you like this podcast and would like to support us, we would really appreciate it. We've got all kinds of cool bonus content, just like our pre-record that we did before this episode, completely unhinged. So go ahead, check that out. Link in the description. And as always, we'd like to say thank you guys so much for joining us, and we hope to see you next week as the journey continues.
Grass to grass. Grass to grass!